going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Here we are on a Good Friday in New York City. Mets Cardinals tonight over at City. If you're driving over, should be a nice night. And the New York Yankees are down at George M. Steinbrenner Field. That was odd yesterday, wasn't it? Watching the Yankees play a regular season road game at George M. Steinbrenner Field.
Not only was it odd, the Twitter account that is George M. Steinbrenner Field tweeted out a video, good to be home, with all the Yankees running out in their road uniforms. Now, a little disrespectful.
Kind of.
Yeah, I mean, the Rays are your home team this year.
Yeah. The crowd felt like it was 90% Yankee fans, didn't it?
Yeah. By the way, I was a little bit off on the good side about the Mets yesterday. They were packed.
Oh, the crowd? Yeah.
I said 31. It was 38.
Yeah, the Met attendance is off to a very, very good start.
Right.
They have either listened to Steve Cohen's warnings or the excitement of last year or the Juan Soto signing or Tommy told them to be big brother. You need to buy tickets, just not me, because I wait for Evan to give me free tickets.
I guess I was free last night. I was in the building. I was part of the 40,000, but I didn't pay.
I do want to give Tommy credit, because Tommy did something that you should do, and he did do it. He offered me something.
Did he?
Yeah. He said, do you want anything? Mm. And I said, no.
I offered you two as well.
You did. You also did something very awkward. I didn't know what to do. So you offered me food and drink. Very nice of you. I said, no, thank you. Very nice. Mm-hmm. Everything you did was nice, but the second one was a little weird. You sit down with the nachos and the tall boy, and you look at, I look at the nachos. I'm like, wow, those look good. And you're like, would you like some?
Yeah.
Did you really want me to stick my dirty hands in your nachos?
See, you didn't pay attention, because I'm smarter than the average bear.
What did you got?
There were four forks in there.
Oh, wow. I did not see that.
Genius.
I thought.
I wouldn't have asked you if it was just all hand picking and stuff.
By the way,
there's four forks in that thing. So I was like, hey, you guys want some? No, we don't eat. We don't drink. We don't do nothing.
So you really need to be there, Teague.
Absolutely.
I need
a raw dog.
Well, okay, a couple of things. First of all, S&Y is showing our interaction. I think it includes me saying, or you saying, would you like some nachos?
I lean over to you. You want some?
A part of why I said no thank you, and I do appreciate the gesture, is I don't want to get up from my seat and I feel bad like you're my waiter. Same thing with Tommy. Like, you're my waiter. It's like, yeah, I'll take this. And then you get it for me and serve it to me. I feel bad.
I don't care.
Okay. Next time I take you, Tommy, I'm saying yes to you.
To me?
Yeah.
Oh, that was your one and only offer.
You said no.
You're in food timeout.
I can't believe you had the four forks because I really didn't notice that.
Yeah, they were sitting right in there.
Yeah, I noticed it.
I thought when you offered the nachos, like it was literally, I have to make a decision of do I want to dig in? By the way,
I wouldn't have cared about that either.
Yeah, it's nachos. You're not asking for a bite of a burger. Right. I mean, it's Tiki. He's an aristocrat. He's not going to have you dump your face in there.
Yeah,
he's high class.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
I'm rewatching.
By the way, you had like COVID, and I was like, hey, whatever.
That's true.
I don't care about germs. I used to drink out of my mom's water hose.
I'm rewatching the clip that they're playing. You see my double take at the nachos.
I knew you wanted some. That's why I asked.
I look away. I look again. It's like I'm checking somebody out, but I was checking out your nachos, and they look damn good. But you know what?
They were really good.
Next time I go, I'm going to buy some nachos.
Nice.
And next time you show up at a Met game, Sean, that could be eating more ash, the nachos.
Yeah. Mm. I'm in for that.
Did you feel bad about missing the game with us last night?
Not at all.
You felt bad about missing eating more ash?
That part, for sure. I didn't feel bad at all. And you know why? Because I was a real Ranger fan that watched Sam Rosen's last time.
How was that?
Oh, it was terrible.
Terrible? They won the game.
Did they?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
They shut out the Lightning.
Oh, okay.
There were multiple goals. And the whole third period was basically a swan song. It was like watching The Who perform for the last time. I was crying.
Mm. You were crying?
I was welled up with tears last night.
Oh, I'm glad it was good. It was just terrible because you weren't with us.
I know.
Traitor.
Yes. Something tells me I'll be at more Met games with you this year.
Why, you just think these opportunities grow on trees?
No, because eventually he knows I'm going to take him to the Cadillac Club.
Ah, absolutely.
That will happen. No, you're right. All right, let's get a Cinco at 507.
Cinco de 50 with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de 5070 is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere. By Mercedes-Benz of Morristown. Visit us online at 888thebenz.com and by New Jersey Lottery. Anything can happen in Jersey. So we obviously have a big weekend, right? We have the Knicks and Pistons, 6 o'clock, Yankees and Rays, Mets and Cardinals. Sunday, 3 o'clock, the Devils and the Hurricanes get a game one going. But we also get a visit, at least some of us do, from the Easter Bunny this weekend. So I'm here to give you the 5 worst things to get in an Easter basket.
Mm.
All right?
Uh-oh.
Here we go.
Here we go!
Number 5.
I hope what we're giving is not on this list.
Well, I'm going to tell you, because I've lived both the kid life
all right, go ahead.
And the bunny life. The hollow version of a chocolate bunny, number 5.
Those are the worst.
Yeah, you bite in, it starts crumbling. Give me the thick one.
Yeah.
I want full chocolate.
You only get one bite.
Yeah.
And then it falls apart, and you don't want to eat the little pieces.
How stupid is that?
I agree with you.
It's also like a tease. You think you're getting more, and all you're getting is the outer shell.
Yeah.
Get lost. All right, here we go.
Number 4.
Loose jelly beans. Mr. Bunny, can we keep them in a bag? You get the little plastic eggs with loose jelly beans going on in them. What are we doing here?
You also don't know where they came from.
Yeah. I mean, who knows what's going on in that bunny patch?
Germs are good for you, children.
All right, here we go.
Number 3.
Peeps. Peeps suck.
What are peeps again?
They're the, like, little
marshmallows with coated sugar over them.
Yeah.
I don't understand the craze for peeps this time of year. They are disgusting.
I feel like I'm getting diabetes as soon as I bite it.
Yeah, I know. I know when I'm a guy who eats ice cream, but that's more diabetic. All right, here we go.
Number 2.
Easter grass. The stuff that sits in, that you put the basket stuff in. You will be vacuuming that out of your house until July.
It's like sand from the beach.
Why does the grass need to be in the basket to make it look nice? It's terrible.
So we have a plant that has not Easter grass, but it's a little bit like that. It's like the fake little grass. And our little new dog, Millie, she goes in there, digs it out, and drags it all over the house. I swear to God, I just want to like, never, nothing.
No!
Not cruelty to animals.
All right, here we go.
Let's number one.
Stop themselves.
And the number one worst thing to get in an Easter basket, and I'm pleading with the bunny, don't do this to kids anymore, the Cadbury egg.
Oh, whew.
Nobody likes the Cadbury egg. It's disgusting cream inside of more hollow chocolate.
Yeah.
Just give a Reese's egg and call it a day.
I guess
that's
my
a good list.
It is a good list. My follow-up would be, what do you want in an Easter basket? Well,
jelly beans package. You just give me the whole bag.
Okay.
Standard movie theater box candy, I think, works. You know, when I was younger, I used to maybe get a video game in there.
Oh, video game.
That's nice.
Cool, yeah. Okay.
Tell me your thoughts on a quarter.
A quarter? What is that going to buy you
now? A quarter?
I mean, if there's enough eggs, could add up.
That's ridiculous.
Is that a thing, really?
Yes.
Well, maybe 20 years ago, but you're talking about now?
Yeah.
In like 2025?
No, now.
What about a dollar?
Dollar gets a thrill from a kid. That's a pop.
I think a dollar would be a thrill, but I hate to ask this question, but I will. To your kids, Sean, I even wonder about my kids. Would they even know what a quarter is?
Are you kidding?
Of course they do. You know why?
Because
when you end the day at the supermarket or if you go food shopping, those machines are still sitting there.
It takes quarters. And so they're like, can I have a bubble gum thing, whatever the big jaw.
Jawbreaker.
Jawbreaker thing. Like, I don't have any quarters. Sorry. Doesn't take credit card. Doesn't take Apple Pay.
But that's the point.
I need a quarter.
That's
I don't have
right.
any quarters.
But that's kind of the reason why I'm not even sure my kids know about quarters. I never have quarters on me. So they see a machine may need a quarter, but I don't know the last time I've even touched a quarter.
Well, Tracy went to the bank and got a bunch of quarters.
Oh, well, that's different then.
So a bunch of quarters put around those eggs. All right, well, happy Easter.
That's very different. All right, thank you, Sean. Yeah, usually the Easter Bunny leaves eggs randomly around the backyard. Mm-hmm. And then the kids run around and they find the eggs and there are things in said eggs.
Yes.
That's usually what happens at the Roberts household.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Couple of baseball things. Number one, the Met lineup. Luis Angel Acuna is not in it yet again. So I know that bothers some Met fans. But
available to pinch run.
Well, he will pinch run in all likelihood and maybe come into the game for defense. Brett Beatty is earning opportunities to play, so I don't think there should be any negativity towards that. It's more, when will Carlos Mendoza be ready to insert Luis Angel Acuna in center field? Because with Jose Siri now out for a very long time, and Tyrone Taylor being a, you know, average but really a fourth outfielder, it seems like there is a opportunity for Luis Angel Acuna to get at-bats and get a job by becoming the center fielder. He is working out there, but Mendy has still not pulled that trigger on playing him out there. So it's another day of Tyrone Taylor in center and Brett Beatty in center. And obviously, the lamp, if you will, or the spotlight is probably the better term, will be on Juan Soto, who continued his struggles by taking an 0-for-3 with a walk on Thursday night at City. We opened the show talking about it. There were murmurs that there may have been some booze. I didn't hear it. Howie Rose did. Some Met fans did. Well, guess what? It's a Friday night at Citi Field. What happens tonight? It's relatively cold. That's what I'm hearing. Mm. If Juan Soto strikes out in the first inning, are we back to hearing from the Boo Birds? That's the Met situation. The Yankee situation features another leadoff hitter.
Another?
Tonight. Not a new one, not Goldie.
I thought you were going to have to start a new list.
No, no. The list right now is Paul Goldschmidt, Benjamin Rice, and, of course, Austin Wells, who's only done it once. Ben Rice back in the leadoff spot.
Well, there he is. By the way, Judge had another walk yesterday against Tampa Bay. Cody Bellinger was behind him. He hit into a ground out, so Judge was out, but it did result in an RBI.
We have breaking news?
Yes. Tiki gets a big W. Jazz Chisholm Jr. will receive a one-game suspension for his actions tonight and fine, according to Aaron Boone.
Stop.
However, Chisholm is appealing, which is why he is in the lineup.
So did they give the reasoning for the suspension? Because it couldn't have just been arguing.
This is not a league memo. Aaron Boone has just told the media.
Got it. Got it.
That is absolutely ridiculous. So let me get this straight.
I think it was an accumulation of all the things.
Well, what was arguing or for tweeting?
Throwing bat, throwing helmet, and then tweeting.
All right, a couple of things.
I mean, you're not allowed to tweet
game. We got to take this piece by piece. Let's get to the tweeting. Right. For those that are not aware, after Chisholm was thrown out last night on a pitch that was not a strike, though the prior pitch wasn't a ball, but it was called a ball.
He should have been out the pitch before.
Absolutely. So I'm sure what annoyed him is that the umpire, John Bacon, probably told him, it evens itself out, it's a makeup call, whatever. Jazz gets ejected. He then goes into the locker room and tweets, that's not a bleeping strike.
Right, but then he deleted it.
And then he deletes it.
But the internet, especially X, is forever.
I get it, but he's been ejected from the game. He's not in the game. He can't tweet. He's not in the game. He got thrown out.
Yeah.
I think that's ridiculous. I'm sorry. I think that's stupid.
It'll be interesting to see when they clarify it.
Here's what they got to do. He is appealing it, so Jazz is in the lineup tonight, as he should be. I hope that this just turns into like a heavy fine. Because quite frankly, I don't care about the fines. It is what it is. The guys make plenty of money. And I'm sure Jazz would agree that give me a heavier fine. Let me play baseball. Let me be out there every day. But I do not think that Jazz Chisholm arguing a horrible call, getting ejected, sure, there was a little bit of a show with the argument, and then tweeting about how awful the awful call was. I'm sorry, that is not worthy of a one-game suspension.
That's insane. It sounds stupid, to be honest with you.
That's what I'm saying.
Just fine him.
That's
fine is fine.
Fine is fine. Absolutely. So Jazz is in the lineup today, and he's appealing this one-game suspension.
Jazz Chisholm.
Who said that, by the way, out of curiosity?
Really?
C-Mac.
Teak.
Is it C-Mac?
We worked with the guy for 5 years.
Can you play it again?
He was our brother in life, and you can't
Jazz Chisholm
recognize that that's C-Mac?
I even know.
Yeah, I don't hear it.
Say, do it again.
All right, hold on.
Jazz Chisholm.
Do it again.
Okay.
Jazz Chisholm.
Mufasa, say it again.
Jazz Chisholm.
It's like a new relationship.
I guess
Jazz Chisholm.
I gotta kind of hear it now.
You can't hear C-Mac in that, and then you want us to believe that you didn't hear any booze last night?
you can't hear C-Mac in that.
Yeah, well, now we know there was
booze.
Now
you know why I didn't hear the booze.
Let's hear from a guy who was at the game last night at Citi Field, Ryan in Brooklyn. How are you, Ryan?
What's up, Brian? Thanks for hanging.
Hey, thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Evan, I wanted to mention, too, I met you at the Mets game last Monday against Miami. You were with Hoff. Just appreciate the time you took to say hello. You got a photo with me. You guys are great.
No problem. Thank you.
Great connecting with you again, too.
Thank you.
I was actually at Barclays Center in January when you were handing out those Zuzi t-shirts.
Yeah, that's right.
So I have I showed Evan that photo, too, because I was fanboying a little bit because I don't usually get to sit in those bougie seats that Evan gets. Also, before I get into my Soto comments really quick, did any of you guys, I know Tiki doesn't, but did you guys take the subway, the 7 line out to the game yesterday?
It's funny you say that. So we take the railroad, and I was informed as the railroad, the LIRR train was getting packed, and Lugie was having, we both were having issues.
Yeah.
I have motion sickness issues.
Getting it on the train.
Well, here's what was happening. So I'll let you continue, Ryan, but I'm glad you brought this up. So we're in the cart. I have motion sickness issues. Tommy has issues with just a lot of people being in there. Mm. And the car got so packed, like we've never seen before. And someone said, you know what's going on?
Mm.
The 7 train went down. And so all these people at Woodside were funneling into the LIRR because the 7 went down. Now, I don't know when it went back up and how it affected people getting to the game afterwards. But, yeah, we did notice that last night, Ryan.
Yeah, so just a little insight. So, you know, I take the 7 line every time I go to the game. I'm coming from Brooklyn. But yeah, right, I know there was issues with 74th Street, but at 33rd at Rawlings, there was so much chaos and people trying to get onto the train that someone pulled a knife on someone.
Are you serious? Whoa.
I swear to the Lord, I had one of my friends that I got separated from at Court Square, and it took us 30 minutes just to get from Court Square even to Woodside. And then, you know, they stopped all the trains. People were going crazy. But I was just curious if you guys got caught up in that, because that, it just took me an extra 45 minutes. But fortunately, I made first pitch.
I got caught up on Delancey Street. It took me 30 minutes to get to the Williamsburg Bridge. It was miserable yesterday in my car. Next time I'll be taking the train.
Well, just not the 7 train.
It works every other time.
Yes.
Well, so
go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to mention. So to get my points out of the way. So for Soto, so I was sitting up in section 522. You know, when Soto came up that first at bat after the Lindor space hit, he rips that ball to shortstop. It's into the double play, and I know there was some light ooze coming down from like the first base section area, I want to say. But it was really after that, the strikeout, that ugly strikeout where he check swings. Yep. We weren't sure what he was doing. And then that's when I heard the heavier boos. That's when, you know, it didn't feel like people were groaning anymore. And, you know, it was, you know, I didn't have anyone in my section really doing it like up in the 500s, but I could hear from the bowels by, you know, the first base area that there was definitely some booze coming in.
Yeah, that's an expensive ticket area. That's where the booze were coming from.
Well, sometimes the more money you spend, the more you want to boo, I guess.
The more entitled you feel to boo.
Yeah. I'm going to share a non-New York baseball story with you because I do think you'll find this interesting. The Cubs play Friday afternoon games. Part of their tradition, they still play some afternoon games.
Yeah, some day games.
You ready for what's going on in their game right now?
Go ahead.
So it was 2-1 Cubs in the bottom of the 7th. Okay, cool. The Cubs break the game open. They score 5 runs in the bottom of the 7th inning to take a 7-1 lead. The Diamondbacks then scored 10 runs in the top of the 8th inning to take an 11-7 lead. In the bottom of the 8th, the Cubs just responded with 6 runs. It is now 13-11 in the bottom of the 8th inning. Dude, a game that was 2-1 in the bottom of the 7th.
Whose ERA is getting destroyed today?
Well, for the Chicago Cubs, it's a fellow by the name of Porter Hodge, a young 24-year-old right-hander. He gave up 6 runs in 2/3 of an inning.
Ugh.
So that did not go well for him. And if you care about the Arizona Diamondbacks ERA, had a bunch of guys. Ryan Nelson took a hit. Joe Mantiply hasn't gotten an out. And all the while, and I guess this is where I'll bring it back to the Yankees a tad, Kyle Tucker is having some kind of season. And in this game, he had a bomb of a home run. I think it was the home run that gave them the lead, this wild game going on at Wrigley. But Kyle Tucker right now is hitting .318. He's got an OPS over 1,000. And he now has 6 home runs, 21 RBIs. He's having a massive, massive season in Chicago. And what's crazy, and this is what's so different between the Soto chase and the Tucker chase. I remember last year when the Yankees got Soto, I would flippantly tell Sean, you're not signing him before free agency. It's just not going to happen. And Sean would be like, well, you never know. I'm like, bro, he's not going to sign before free agency. Like, stop. You're kidding yourself. There are reports that Tucker and the Cubs are talking. And so it is possible that the Cubs, who clearly want to bring this guy back, could extend him before he gets to free agency. I don't know enough about Kyle Tucker and his agent to know what's going to happen. I felt that very strongly about Soto. So as much as you admire him from afar, and he's having a great contract year, this could just be a marriage that gets wrapped up here in April and May, where the Cubs say, all right, here's $400 million. Let's get this done.
I mean, the Cubs, they want to be good, the Cubs.
Yeah.
You know, they're one of the teams that was kind of in on trying to sign some guys.
And they gave up a ton to get him.
Wasn't he the swerve for you, Loogie, that you couldn't think of that Evan kind of brought up? Because Vlad's not available?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I told him because Loogie's one of those Met fans whose eyes can't be on the prize. It always has to like go elsewhere.
I'm playing chess. You're playing checkers.
Or you're with your wife and you're checking out another female's butt. And that's basically what you're doing.
Right. What kind of woman is your wife? Will she be like, yeah, look at her butt? Or will she be like, Loogie, what the hell are you doing?
Depends on if I took the laundry out the garbage, I should say.
I said to him, now that Vlad's gone, who's your new apple of one's eye? And Loogie couldn't come up with anybody. He said, how about Kyle Tucker? But guess what? He's probably going to re-sign.
Yeah.
He's going to be all locked up by Chicago. Let's go to Ozzy in Woodridge. What's up, Oz?
What's up, Oz?
I got to stop listening to your show. It's constant material, man.
Is that the point?
Oh, my God. If Sean was at that game last night, the cameras would have caught him like George Costanza at the Yankee game with Mr. Softy all over his face eating out of the helmet. You know that would have happened.
By the way, I had the option, Ozzy, of getting my nachos in the helmet. I declined. And I took the box.
Wow.
Whoa.
Wow. I didn't know that.
You're welcome, Yankee fans.
Oh, my God. Also, Oz, bad Seinfeld memory. It was at the U.S. Open, not a baseball game.
There you go. Hey, listen, I'll take the L on that. I'll wear it right now. And, Tiki, I bet before I get to Evan and the Detroit pizza, Tiki, I bet that's the first time you have a declined helmet.
Facts. Hashtag.
Yo, Evan.
Yeah.
Detroit pizza is the Evan Roberts of pizzas. These are all your quotes. You ready? Mm-hmm. To describe the Detroit pizza. It's so unimpressive. You. It's small. You. It looks like nothing. You. It's just a blob of bread. You're a blob, and your skin is the color of just white bread. With some tomato sauce on top, you have your red hair.
That's
a Detroit pizza as a human.
Ozzy, that's a solid one. That's solid writing right there.
That's not bad. That's not bad. Thank you very much, Ozzy. I am Detroit pizza. I am Detroit pizza. Oh, yeah, yeah. We'll come back with your phone calls. We will also put someone in tonight's Yankee game. Someone very important from tonight's Yankee game in our window seat. Plus, the Giants showed amazing due diligence during this offseason. We'll explain why. So we still have a lot to do as we take you right up to Yankee baseball. Hopefully, you're enjoying your Good Friday. If you've missed any of the program today, we got this little rewind button on the Odyssey app. You can do that. You can also download the Evan and Tiki podcast. Yankees are in Tampa again today at George M. Steinbrenner Field. And to me, it was very easy on who needs to be put in the window seat, brought to you by Windorama. Because the guy who will get a lot of attention from Yankee fans tonight is Carlos Rodon. Carlos Rodon is one of those Yankees. He's in his third year here. He's been here for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And he is still under that microscope of, can he pitch here? Can he deal with it here? Can he be consistent here? Can he step up for an injured Gerrit Cole here? And he started the season on such a good note because he did such a good job filling in for Gerrit Cole. But he's been wildly inconsistent since. Now, the Yankees are on a winning streak, so life is good. They've won four in a row. Everybody's happy. But Rodon is one guy you look at every 5 days and say, hey, are you going to get the job done? Mm-hmm. Let's see if he gets the job done. Contractors, get what you need to get the job done. Visit Windorama.com today.
Sean had a take on him last week, and he's dead on. I mean, save for the two contract years that he had in 21 and 22 with the Chicago White Sox and then the San Francisco Giants, it's every other year. He goes with 6.5, 6.8 ERA, then under 4, as Sean mentioned, and now he's back up to 5. It's like 1 year he's on, 1 year he's off. The thing that you really want from him, though, is 32 starts.
Yes.
And depth. And, I mean, I guess he did it last year even, but you just don't trust him. It's like, when can you get to the point where you trust Carlos Rodon, especially with Gerrit Cole out for as long as he's done for the season. So you need a number 2. And Will Warren was quick yesterday.
Well, the problem with Will Warren, and Boone explained it after the game, is he wasn't going to let him throw 40 pitches in one inning.
Right.
And so as that pitch count was exploding in the second inning, the problem Boone had was he's like, I'm getting him out. Mm-hmm. He's going to throw way too many pitches. And that's, not nice or not good when you have to starting pitcher take out in the second inning and you got to rely on your bullpen. But credit to the Yankee bullpen.
They survived it.
They did a hell of a job.
Right.
I agree with you about Rodon. I don't want to set the bar low, but go make every start.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's going to piss you off, Sean, because 6 innings, 5 runs is not a good start.
No.
And you get mad when people say it is a good start, and I'm not going to argue with you, it's not a good start. But what's so important in this day and age is just start the games and get me innings. Now, he's being paid a lot more than just that bar, but if this is going to be an offseason for Rodon, and it's still very, very early, at least take the baseball every 5 days, which he didn't do the first year he was here.
No, I completely agree, and look, I'm looking at Clark Schmidt. I'm looking at hopefully the return of Luis Hill. And I'm looking at Max Fried and going,
Let's just pitch every, like you're saying, every 5 days, Rodon. But his salary, again, better not dictate you start in the postseason if this is the kind of year we get. And I know we're a long way from going there, but I do think it's evident you just simply cannot rely on him.
I mean, Yankee fans, Yankee fans are going to be thinking we need a starter at the deadline.
Yeah, I'll go one further, man. They're going to need to start at the deadline. Evan brought this up last year, and I think it's important to note. When they signed Max Fried, how many pitchers are they going to have making X amount of dollars? I'm not fast-forwarding the season. Carlos Rodon's salary better not stop them next offseason from upgrading if they want to sign a Michael King back or something like that for big money.
But I'll ask the question again. How many guys are you going to give long-term contracts to starting pitchers in their 30s?
I know, but you can't... It's enough of a sample size, now not just this year, over 3 years now, that this is who Carlos Rodon is.
We are a little late, but we promised this over the last few days. It is now 5:37 on a Friday. We are on the eve of the NBA playoffs. We're also on the eve of the NHL playoffs, and we are not going to ignore that there is a local team competing for Lord Stanley's Cup. So right now it is prediction time. Let's put it all on record, and let's actually start by showing some respect to the one hockey team that made the tournament. The New Jersey Devils, who Sunday at 3 o'clock begin a series against the team I cannot stand, the Carolina Hurricanes. So, Sean Morash is someone who has always been such a fair IHO, especially when it comes to the Devils and the Islanders. I want you to start things off. Devils and how many?
I think Carolina wins the series in 5.
You're a hater.
I'm not being a hater. I think this is where not having Jack Hughes is going to kill you.
Yeah.
Carolina's too seasoned in these playoff series. They won't win the cup, but they'll get out of the first round beating the Devils.
Carolina in 5 is what you said.
Carolina in 5.
All right. Tommy Lugauer.
Devs in 7.
New Jersey Devils in 7. Tiki Barber!
I'm following my good buddy over there on the other side of the glass who's representing New Jersey, even though he lives in Queens. Give me the Devils in 7.
Well, you guys are adorable, and I appreciate it.
Thank you. We like being cute.
Carolina in 4.
Come on.
Boy, you are something special. That big setup. You glaze the Devils.
Makes me look like the bad guy.
Of course.
Picks a worse outcome.
That's classic Evan, by the way.
Well, first of all, I'm talking about them. We are all talking about them, and I think that's respect. Sometimes the Devils don't get any respect. Okay. They don't even get talked about.
You didn't have them winning one game in the series.
I think they're going to get swept. I think that Jack Hughes being out is a killer, and Carolina's a well-oiled playoff machine. I know it better than anybody. Or not better than anybody, but I've experienced it as an Islander fan. So I'm just giving you I'm an IHO, bro. I like the Devils. I mean, it's not like I don't like them. I'm not like Sean, who's vindictive. I'm just giving you an honest prediction.
Yeah, but Sean, who's vindictive, at least threw him a bone and said they'd win one game.
So you want me to lie?
They should just forfeit, basically.
You want me to lie about my prediction to be nice? Is that what you're saying?
Being nice by saying they're going to lose in 5 games?
Give the home team some optimism.
Right.
I'm sorry. I'll pretend. Devils in 6.
Nice. Good job.
I don't actually believe that, though.
But you were a childhood actor.
You don't have to say Devils in 6. Just say Panthers in 6 or Panthers in...
Well, no, no. Carolina Panthers.
Hurricanes. Hurricanes in 6 or the Hurricanes in... Whatever.
But I don't think that. I think they're...
You think they're going to get swept?
Yeah. Is that okay? Like, why is that such a bad... I'm being honest. I mean, jeez, man.
It feels like you're being a jerk.
I can't...
And the reason I say that is because of the setup. You set up Sean to be the bad guy when all along you knew you were going to be the bad guy. You went last, and then you have him getting swept.
They're very sensitive. So now let's go to the NBA. I'll go first so I don't set anybody up. At the beginning of the season, I always love doing this with all the sports. I make predictions. I even tweeted out like my text of how I wrote it out. I love it. It's fun. And then you hold yourself accountable. I had Denver and Milwaukee. I obviously came out with a straight face into a microphone at 5:39 on April 18th. Back that prediction. That was a prediction I had in October.
Right.
I had my reasons for it. A lot has changed. Now, Damian Lillard is now off the blood thinners.
Yeah, because of the thrombosis.
Yeah. A thrombosis in his ankle.
Yes, yes.
And I'm happy for him, and I hope the guy gets back. I don't know if he will. And even if he does, I don't know what he's going to be.
Yeah.
And the Bucks have done nothing to earn my trust this year, except I'm surprised Sean hasn't even brought this up yet. Except the Bucks did do one thing this season that should give you belief that maybe they could turn it on and beat the Pacers and, you know, shock the world and go to the finals. Do you remember what that was, Sean?
The Bucks did one thing? Am I blanking?
Yeah. Ah. Tommy knows, so don't say anything.
I won't.
Sean, you don't know?
I'm drawing a blank, dude.
Do you know, Teak?
Did they beat the Knicks?
No, it has nothing to do with the Knicks.
It has to do with the Nets, clearly.
Has nothing to do with the Nets?
Nope. I don't know.
You guys.
Can I give him a hint?
Went to Detroit.
Yeah, give me a hint, Tommy.
Las Vegas.
Oh.
Vegas.
Dude, if you ask me who played in the championship of that tournament, I have no idea.
The Milwaukee Bucks won the in-season tournament.
Okay, was that indicative of what happened a year ago?
Well, the Pacers went and lost and made it all the way to the Eastern Conference Final, and they said, you know, it gave them big game experience.
But the Bucks won, right?
Yeah. So what does that mean? Does it mean that Bucks are going to go beat Indiana and then beat Cleveland?
Maybe.
So I should stick with my initial, but no, I can't do it.
Who did the Bucks beat then?
The Oklahoma City Thunder.
The Thunder, they beat.
Another elite level team, by the way. So, look, I can't stick.
I don't remember that game.
Great job, Adam Silver.
I know, 100%.
No, but
it's too early.
I agree.
It's too early to be significant in your mind.
My criticism to Mr. Silver would be put that thing in February. Mm. Like, that's where it's way too early in the season. I can't stick with Milwaukee, Denver. I think the Celtics are coming out of the East. I think they're a well-oiled machine. I think they're the best team on the planet by a lot. I'm not going to bore you with that.
I agree.
The West confuses me because the Oklahoma City Thunder, this is not hyperbole, this is backed up by fact, is actually one of the greatest regular season teams we've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
what was the stat you gave us last week?
Point differential.
Yeah, but it was, what was it? They had more?
They had more double-digit victories than almost every team had victories. Like, they had more double-digit victories than Knicks wins, and the Knicks won 51 games. They had a good year.
That's insane.
So the point is the Thunder had, like, the greatest point differential in league history. Like, they were, statistically speaking, one of the great regular season teams of all time. There is no evidence I could use to say they're not coming out of the West, except for this emotional thing I'm going to tell you. I have a feeling. I know. That's not backed up by anything. I have a feeling that this Luka trade is not only leading to enhanced NBA ratings, I think we're getting what I dread, what you dread, what we all dread. I think we're getting Lakers Celtics in the NBA Finals.
But Adam Silver doesn't dread that.
Oh, no, he loves it.
He wants that.
He goes to sleep fantasizing about it.
No doubt. I agree with you, Evan.
You do?
I agree.
Even though we have no empirical evidence to back us up, it's just a feeling?
It's part Luka, but it's also, I cannot discount LeBron James until I see him washed. And I don't think that we're there yet.
Mm.
And so you got two really good players, one who's multiple champion and LeBron. And it just feels like we talk about the switch. Most people, teams cannot flip the switch. I think he can. And so I can't put them down.
So what's your finals?
Celtics, Lakers.
Oh, we're in agreement.
Just like you.
I'm going Lakers, Celtics, Celtics in six. You're going Lakers, Celtics, Celtics in how many?
Mm.
Don't say Lakers because, you know, that's not true.
Yeah, I'm going to say Celtics in seven.
Yep. Sean Morash, your NBA Finals.
Lakers in seven over the Celtics.
Mm. Are we really all going to sit here picking Lakers?
I didn't know you guys were going to do that.
Mm. And you know me.
I have finances.
I said it earlier, so you knew I did.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know Evan was going there.
I
figured Evan would get unique. You know?
No, I can't because I'm being honest. Like, I think when we make predictions, we should just be honest about it. And like, what kills me about this is, again, there's no reason to pick against the Thunder. Like, there really isn't. Like, I don't even know how you come up with one. But this whole Luka trade, which drove me nuts. The idea of Lakers-Celtics...
Orchestrated by Adam Silver.
Feels that way. I'm not saying it happened. Just the whole thing feels like we're headed towards that. And I don't want it, even though it's going to get massive TV ratings. I just got this sick feeling. And I also think LeBron's got that one more ride in the sun. That one more debate. Is it good as well, time?
Oh, you could see it coming a mile away.
100%. So, Tommy, are you going to... There's no way he's picking Lakers-Celtics at this point.
No, no shot. So my heart says...
Josh?
Yes. It will be the Knicks in seven over the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Oh, come on. Because of the Julius stuff?
And Dante.
I mean, that's an interesting story for us, but not for the rest of the country.
And now my head
will
pick Cavs Thunder.
Wow. Mm. Okay. And you know what's so crazy? I'm saying, wow. They're both the one seeds, right. But he's right. Like, that would be a surprise NBA Finals, which is nuts, considering they've been the two best teams in the league.
Believe it or not, I think the Cavs are playing better basketball right now than the Celtics. Really, all year they have. I'm going to give them
respect.
Yeah, but
it also feels like the Celtics have been on cruise control a little bit. And so, it's like, hey, we'll worry about it when we need to worry about it.
I'm surprised that you would do that, because it seemed for a while like you questioned Cleveland. Like, you didn't really buy what they've been doing. What made you buy in?
The consistency all season long.
Oh, fair enough.
I mean, they just continue to prove that they're just like the best team in the East. I mean, the Celtics are the champs. Plus, I can't see Boston anymore. I think I speak for everybody.
Sean,
I can't see the Celtics.
You have a theory on this?
Tommy knows what's happening. He knows what's going on with these rosters, and he doesn't want to enter next season with more expectations on the Knicks, it'll be easier for him to go. And look, it's a tough road. You got the NBA champs and the NBA champs of 2 years ago. Those are two tough teams to get through. He's pre-setting up next year's Knicks season.
I think you're giving him too much
credit.
How
could you expect him to get through those two
Tommy's
teams?
Not thinking that far in advance.
No, I know what he's thinking, though.
Perhaps. Okay, go ahead.
He's thinking, and it doesn't work because I don't feel this way. He thinks that Kenny Atkinson.
Correct.
Leading the Cavs correct. To an NBA title in the finals will bother me. And I got to tell you.
Will it?
It won't, actually.
Why? Oh.
Now, because, first of all, that era is such a disaster. I'm like, I don't want to say I'm over it, but I'm over that part of it. I'm over the fact that, like, they didn't want to play for him. Mm. It probably wouldn't have worked.
Yeah.
It screwed Kenny, okay, and I feel bad for Kenny, who did a great job. What am I going to do? I'm really mad about that anymore?
They didn't want to play for Kenny Atkinson.
Yeah.
But now they're...
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table. And Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman... Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All gone.
I agree. I'm more mad about that.
That doesn't upset you?
I'm upset the whole thing failed. I'm not upset about the firing of Kenny Atkinson. I'm just not. I like Kenny. I think Kenny was, first of all, Kenny's an awesome dude. Mm-hmm. I think he did a great job as coach of the Nets. And I'm actually happy for him. I am. I'm happy that he landed on his feet. I'm happy that he has, a likable Cav team. I'm not saying you guys should feel that way, but I obviously have a soft spot for Donovan Mitchell, being a diehard Met fan. I also have a soft spot for Jared Allen. Mm-hmm. Like, again, just because a guy was on my team doesn't mean I hate them. So I get it, but I don't feel that way.
But
so you won't get... right now, and I had this in a meeting last night, the Coalition of Knick Haters had an emergency meeting last night, and we were talking about, hey, who do we want to see in the NBA Finals? And we all agreed we actually want to see Cleveland get there in the East. We certainly don't want to see the Knicks. We don't want to see Boston. We hate Giannis. I mean, who the hell likes Giannis? That freaking dirty person after what he did to Kyrie Irving. Mm. So who else in the East would I root for? It's like easy Cleveland. I like Cleveland.
I do too.
Cleveland rocks.
And honestly, like I said, Kenny is showing what kind of coach he is.
He's a great coach.
We know he got hosed because they allowed the players to run things over there.
But it doesn't bother me. Like, you think that bothers me?
No, I'm not saying it shouldn't bother you, but I mean, what could have been?
I don't think it would have been.
Don't you have a game one to focus on here, Tom?
Yeah. I'm very focused. He asked me my prediction. By the way, I don't know if I gave it, actually. I have the Thunder beating the Cavs in seven.
Okay. So there you go.
Now, real quickly around the room, Maple Leafs over Stars, Evan?
No, we're not doing that. We haven't done the Knicks series yet, Sean. I mean, we're waiting for the main event now.
Oh, okay. So after the Knicks, then we'll do the Stanley Cup.
If that's what you want, sure.
Well, I think it'd only be fair to the hockey audience. We didn't really give our Stanley Cup final predictions, to be fair. Right?
All right. It's going
to
be the Winnipeg Jets against the Montreal Canadiens in the Stanley Cup Finals. All Canada Cup Finals.
Should be a ratings bonanza.
It's going to be... By the way, I got a dumb question. I got a really stupid question. If a Canadian team wins a championship, do they normally go to the White House? Like, did the Blue Jays or the Raptors go to the White House?
That is a great, not great question.
I think they go to Parliament.
But do they also go to the White House?
I don't know. Look that up.
So you think they stay in Canada?
The guy that's running the government is an idiot.
I guess.
I don't know. Aren't they voting for new prime ministers?
Yeah. Yeah. I just don't know. Because, we had the Raptors recently, but then the Blue Jays in 92.
So what did the Raptors do?
So here's the problem. In Trump's first administration, I don't think any NBA team went to the White House. So I don't think that would even be indicative or prove anything.
Trump pseudo-invited them. But in Canada, it's not really a thing to involve the politics and sports. So none of the Canadian teams go to Parliament.
They don't even go to Parliament.
Apparently.
So they don't go to the Parliament, and they don't go to the White House.
They just kind of have their own celebration and move on with their lives. We extend it months and months and months.
Right. Very Canadian, by the way.
So the Blue Jays never went to the White House in 1993?
I'll confirm. Same thing with the Canadians in 93.
Mm. Oh, that's right. That's the last Canadian team to win a Stanley Cup final, by the way. Great. The Canadians in 1993, they beat the Kings in the Stanley Cup final, beat the Islanders in the Eastern Conference Finals after the Islanders shocked the Penguins. See, I know my hockey.
Ooh, the Blue Jays are the only team. They did visit the White House in the 90s.
Really?
What'd I say?
Hockey teams weren't invited back in the 90s and 80s.
So my question is...
Any of them?
No, this was a baseball thing because it was America's pastime, so they had Toronto to the White House.
Okay. So if a Canadian hockey team wins, especially with everything going on between Canada and the U.S., they won't
the
even
guy that's running the government is an idiot.
It's
frictionous.
There's a George Bush Blue Jays jersey holder.
There is! So I'm not nuts to even ask that question.
It's a good question because I had no idea.
The Blue Jays went to the White House.
Not that I pay attention to who wins the Stanley Cup and what they do after they win the Stanley Cup.
Well, in this case, this is the World Series. This is baseball. I guess, do hockey teams even go to the White House then?
I don't think so.
At all.
I know the Bruins did. I remember that specifically.
I do remember it.
Oh, and the Capitals definitely did because they were Washington, D.C.
Okay, so hockey teams do, but we'll see.
December 16th, 1992 was the Blue Jays' visit to the White House.
Yeah, George Bush figured, you know what, I already lost the election. Let me just get these Canadian guys in here and I'll get the hell out of here. Because remember, that's a month after he lost.
Yeah.
Let's get to the main event. The New York Knicks against the Detroit Pistons. Let's make our predictions. Tiki Barber.
Knicks in six.
They're dudes. Knicks in six.
Dogs.
Sean Morash.
Pistons in seven.
No chance in hell. I will go next because Tommy should be the main event as the dude dog Nick guy. He's an unkillable Nick fan, I hear. I'm going to go Knicks in five. I've said that before. Now, what I'm trying to figure out is which game the Pistons win. I kind of think they're going to take one of the early ones at the Garden to really scare them.
But it can't be one.
Maybe it will be. Maybe the Pistons winning game one at the Garden will be that watershed moment where the Knicks finally win a best of seven series after losing game one at home. I don't know yet. But I'm going to say this. Knicks in five. They will lose one of the two games at Madison Square Garden. The station's going to freak out. Knicks fans are going to freak out. I'm going to laugh the whole time because I know at the end of the day, you guys are going to win anyway. Calm down. Look, I think there is this worry that, Cade Cunningham is a superstar. And if the Knicks eventually start doubling him and all of a sudden Tim Hardaway is getting open threes and Malik Beasley is getting open threes and Isaiah Stewart is out toughing the Knicks, yes, I guess things could get murky. But overall, I think the Knicks are a much more talented team. Knicks in five. Tommy Lou Gower.
It's been a minute since I've said this, so I think it's a prompt that I should do it now. The Knicks have dudes, the Knicks have dogs, and they will do damage, and they will win the series in six games. They will go back to the Detroit tied 1-1.
Why am I the most optimistic Knick person? I don't get this.
My cynic side says that you're doing this on purpose.
No, I'm not. So I pick against the Devils because I'm a bad guy.
Correct.
I pick for the Knicks because I'm set. Like, I can't win no because matter what I
you're I feel like you're laying it on so thick that you're saying that, like, Detroit has no shot. They essentially should forfeit. You should steamroll them. So when or if the Knicks lose the series, it feels even bigger because you prop them up so high.
So, Cade Cunningham's a tremendous player.
Yeah.
Wherever we rank him in the series, whatever. If we want to put him ahead of Jalen, want to put him behind Jalen, mm-hmm. whatever. When you start ranking everyone else on best player on the floor, how long does it take before you get to a Piston player, and who is that Piston player?
Beasley is, oh God, I would say I would take the starting five of the Knicks. Like I said,
Beasley's six.
Yeah.
And J.D. Yeah, Bickerstaff did what in Cleveland in the postseason?
Yeah, I understand that.
So let's get to
let's get to the root of it.
You've got more talent.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's, I'm breaking it down for you. I'm giving you basketball reasons. You have more talent.
Yep.
I think you have a much better NBA head coach than Tom Thibodeau.
Which team is tougher? Answer it.
I don't think you're as okay.
Tough is a non-definable attribute.
You're right.
And you can't put wins and losses or points on that.
I also don't
think it's probably the Pistons, you're right.
But based on what? Like you even said, what is that based on?
Defense. Playing defense, getting turnovers, being in your grill, you know, forcing you into mistakes, I don't know, resiliency despite being a young team, all that stuff.
Yeah, I don't necessarily agree with that. Like Isaiah Stewart is a dirty, dirty player. If that means they're tough, okay.
But if you can be dirty and get away with it, then that's toughness.
But Joel Embiid's dirty and gets away with it. Do you think he's tough?
He's not available half the time.
No, no, but I'm talking about last year. Like, did we look at him and say, oh, they're tough? No, no,
because
you
know he's compromised.
Okay.
No, but I looked at an entire series and you're like, all right, how long until he's only playing 30 minutes a game?
No, but my point, dude, is just because you're dirty doesn't make you tough. I don't think those two things are connected.
Well, it depends on how the opponent looks at you. Like, if the opponent is like, oh, I got to be aware of this guy, I don't know, doing something dirty, then that toughness affects the game.
Mm.
Correct?
I thought the Sixers were tough, and B, obviously, is a cheap artist, but Kelly Oubre, Cam Payne, who's now on the Knicks, like, they had tough players, Kyle Lowry.
No, really, I didn't think they were
tough. I just think Embiid is not tough.
I don't think they were that tough, and I think that we're over-exaggerating. Goodbye, SNY. Good to see you. Mm. Goodbye. Baseball Night in New York is coming up next. It's been a pleasure hanging out with you.
Brought to you by Tri-State Cadillac.
Oh, is it? Cool. Cadillac. That's what Tiki was thinking about when he was sitting with us last night.
Cadillac Club.
That's
Cadillac
right.
Club. Cadillac Club. Damn it. Why am I not in a Cadillac Club?
I put out a picture of us sitting together on TV, the one they put on TV, and I said, hey, not comment on this. Tell us what we're all thinking. And one guy had me thinking of a tuna sandwich from Subway. Had Hoffman thinking about how much he hates Brandon Nimmo, had Tiki thinking about Cadillacs, and had Tommy thinking about Cade Cunningham, which cracked me up.
Specifically, I'd want the electric lyric.
I'm sure you would. I'm just saying, like, I think the toughness angle has been really overplayed.
Mm-hmm.
I do. Like, I didn't like how the Knicks have responded to certain things this season, like the whole Trae Young, hey, I'm playing poker, whatever right, the hell he was right. doing, playing craps, whatever it was.
Definitely craps.
It was craps.
Even my guy Dennis Schroeder standing over Jalen Brunson. Like, I didn't like those things, but when it comes to the actual play, I think it's overstated how tough the Pistons are and how not tough the Knicks are. I think the Knicks have a better coach. I think they have more talent, and they've got oodles of playoff experience. So I'm just giving you my opinion because I break this news to you. You know, and this is where I'll put you all in pretzels, specifically you, Tommy. I'm playing a game on Knicks in five. I can promise you this. If you play the Celtics in 2 weeks, I'm not saying that stuff. I'm going to call like it is again, and you're not going to like it. It's probably going to be Celtics in five. No. So find the new angle because I'm just telling you how I feel. You're better than Detroit. You should beat them. I think you will beat them. And then if you're in the next round and there are no catastrophic injuries either way, the Celtics are on that same level better than you, that you are the Pistons, and I'm going to tell you about it, and then I'm a bad guy. So I don't know what you want me to do.
Yeah, but nobody's arguing that. If you came on the radio and said the Knicks are going to get a gentleman's sweep, they're going to lose in five, and they're not going to be close in the losses, nobody would be hip to you
and
playing games.
And who would then be against, if you really watch these teams all year, that the Pistons are that much better?
I mean, they've played the Knicks very, very well.
And what have I said all year about head-to-head matchups? What have I said from the beginning?
Okay, so then based on that, so then why are the Celtics...
Until the postseason.
Yeah, but Teak, then why are the Celtics going to steamroll the Knicks?
Because they're better than you, bro. It has nothing to do with the head-to-head.
They're better, and they're the defending champs.
Yes,
and
better coach.
Better coach, they're healthy. You know, Porzingis missed some time this year. Now he's back. We saw it in the last time they played.
But I'm not basing it on when they play. I'm basing it on the fact the Celtics are a lot better than you. I'm basing it on the fact the Knicks are a lot better than the Pistons. Like, it, sometimes it's simple, and there's no angle. There's no trying to be cute. There's no setting you up to fail. Yeah. It's just I'm telling it like it is. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Yeah. I don't think I'm going to be wrong. I think I'm going to be right. And by the way, I hope I'm wrong. I'd love for the Knicks to lose. I'd be the happiest guy in America. And if I'm wrong, it won't be because I tried to play mind tricks on anyone. Like, dispute anything I said from a basketball standpoint. You guys can't.
I'm not disputing anything you said.
Thank you.
Although I do vaguely remember you saying the Knicks could lose in the first round. This was months ago.
Yeah, things changed, man. I mean, honestly,
That was November, Evan, and now here we are in April. And April, Evan says there's no shot the Knicks lose in
the series. We know who they're playing. We know the opponent.
Absolutely. The opponent absolutely matters.
I'm sorry, what was that, Sean?
I do have the official MLB announcement on Jazz Chisholm's suspension.
Let's hear it.
Here we go.
Okay. Infielder Jazz Chisholm Jr. of the New York Yankees has received a one-game suspension and an undisclosed fine for his conduct, including his violation of Major League Baseball's social media policy for Major League players during the Thursday, April 17th game against the Tampa Bay Rays. Michael Hill, MLB's Senior Vice President for On-Field Operations, made the announcement. Unless appealed, which it is, the suspension of Chisholm is scheduled to be served tonight when the Yankees continue the series versus the Rays.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
So they specifically mentioned the tweet.
Yeah, the tweet was after he was ejected. And so to me, what violations he breaking? He's out of the game. I don't buy this rule. I get you shouldn't tweet like during a game. I'm not going to argue that. But once you get ejected and you're out of it, I think it's actually great for the guy to comment about the game. He should have, you know what he should have done? Gone up to Dave and Susan and did play-by-play. I would have listened. That would have been freaking awesome.
He should have said it then. And then what they had said.
They would have loved it.
Of course.
Well, I would have loved it.
You couldn't say anything.
No,
I'm out of the game. I'm a regular citizen right now.
David would have loved it.
Absolutely, they would have.
Say what you want, Jazz. In fact, that's my next idea for us. I got to tell the architect.
Get ejected? Head upstairs.
If Boone gets ejected, he joins David Susan.
That's a good idea, actually.
Jazz gets ejected.
I mean, hell, half these TV affiliates, they do the in-game interview.
Exactly.
So what's the difference?
Oh, that'd be so great. Jazz comes up and he's like, guys. How much of a BS call was that?
It'd be awesome.
Susan's like, you're right. Yeah, it'd be amazing.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.